I've got you. I've got this. Y'all know as a kid, nothing made you, if you were in a good situation with your parents, I'm not going to be careful how I say that. But how many of you know, whether it was your father or maybe someone in your family, a big brother or whatever, but there's nothing like being able to get into the lap of someone that loves you, who can protect you.
Yeah.
Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
There's nothing like it.
Come on, man. Safe.
And so there's just something about that. And it's an embrace of God that I can't describe, but most of you know what it feels like. But can I tell you, He doesn't want you to only know it in a corporate setting, but he wants us to be able to tap into that, you know, when we could use a pep talk, you know, when we could use that, and you know, you just can't go find your favorite friend to be that for you. And then as we were going today, the Lord was just reminding us of being His friend and what that means. And that friendship, let me just say this to you. Don't ever think we sing, I am a friend of God or anything like that. We're not saying that He's not Lord or He's not God. Because in the song, I am a friend of God, right?
He's still God.
He's not my buddy.
Come on.
Amen? It's a difference, a big difference. And even His own disciples knew that. They would come to some startling moments in their ministry and they would turn around and they'd go, who is this man? Now they've been following Him for 3 years. He distilled a storm and they turn around and go, who is this guy? He could calm the wind and the waves. Tell me, you know, when that kind of stuff starts to happen, you start to realize how much He's got you. Amen? Amen?
Yes.
I always look at, usually Irene's running there. They're out today. But I usually look at Irene. She's well, by the way. I look at Irene and go, God's got this, because that's the word He gave me for her in her health battle. And she's had a lot of breakthroughs and it's been exciting. But anyway, everybody good?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hi, Kristen. Hi, Jocelyn. Who's that beside you? How are you, honey? Good to see you. Did you leave James outside? Oh, okay. Hallelujah. This week we're going to pray. Worship and prayer has just been dynamic, so try to come when you can. Last week was Friday, and I know sometimes Fridays is good for some people and not good for others, but this week we're doing Thursday. Okay? So I just kind of try to pay attention to those emails and text. And when you can come and be with us, we worship here from about 6:30. Usually we pray at least an hour to hour and a half. But with schools all back in, we're going to be really careful with that to try to make sure kiddos can go home and get done. Okay? Be sensitive to that. So, but this week will be Thursday night. Okay? And so praise the Lord. Me and William and Nashe went out with a team from New Generation, Omar and Martha's church, yesterday into the city. And we went out and just loved on people and gave resources away, but also had a lot of divine appointments. Amen. To minister to people. And we had two Davids.
Yeah.
We had two Davids. Of course, I get excited as a worship leader, you know, a psalmist of the whole thing about David, the heart after God. And we had two Davids that almost in a row. From one event to the next, we were moving from place to place. Omar and Martha, they got it down. They know where the people are, and they got it down. They've really got it figured out. But we went over there, and this one man, a David that William ministered to, and his foot, he wasn't able to walk with any balance, and he especially couldn't do anything on any kind of a slope or whatever, and he couldn't bend his toes. I think he said, range of motion was bad. And so, man, just stopped down there. And it was so hot and humid yesterday. You know, you were here. And I thought I was in Memphis in July. And I bowed down, and William bowed down, put his hand on his foot. And the guy, I love to watch the face of somebody that gets healed. That maybe just did it because you offered, you know? Probably because you offered, can I pray for that? Well, yeah. Because a lot of them mean, go home and pray for me. That's what they mean. Oh, yeah, pray for me, thank you. And then you start praying for them, and they're like... But God touched him.
Yeah, he did.
And he started going. William was still praying a little bit. And he started moving his foot. And I noticed him moving his foot. I'm like, I thought you couldn't do that, you know?
Come on, bro.
And it was so exciting. And then the very next place that we drove to was in a park.
Yeah.
And it was a guy there riding around on his bicycle. And anyway, we had a real unique finding there with him. And when I began to tell him, I said, your name, David, really implies a lot. And I believe in the power of names. And I said, how about you? And he goes, yeah, I do too. And I said, well, David, man, is a man after God's own heart. And his tears came. And then and I told him, I said, and by the way, a lot of people minister. I'm not trying to act like I did all the ministry at all. But I'm just saying just a couple of things that I personally witnessed. And he, and I said, brother, I just believe God just wants to stir you back in his heart after him. Because I said, if you will go after him, then everything else that draws on you, it won't have a draw on you anymore. Right? Amen. I mean, a lot of times getting over addictions or anything, you have to fall in love with something else, right? Somebody else, right? That drives on that passion. And when I pray, asked, I said, man, I just want to pray for the heart of David just to be stirred up in you. He immediately, like, he I don't know if he had a hat on or what. I don't know what it was. He took something off, like a backpack or something. And he immediately leaned down like that, put his head forward. And man, God just so touched him. And it was just a neat day. It's just a cool day. And just to watch that. And so God's good. We had a great time. Let's pray and agree with Omar and Martha for their church, for growth. And they need space just like we do so that we can gather and we can safely gather. You know what I mean? And so be praying for them too and be in agreement with them. It was fun to go help them. We love to help them out from time to time. But they had it together, didn't they? They had it together. I mean, it was good that we got to go, but they were ready. They were rocking and rolling and giving out food and blessing people. And so anyway, God's good. Hallelujah. The Lord began to speak to my heart. I just want to share this with you today, and I want us to respond to this word in closing today. The Lord spoke to me. He said, if you will draw near, you will not fear.
Come on.
If you will draw near, you will not fear. And a lot of it had to do with what I was talking about earlier. This is my in my life, I was dealing with something and trying to process something, and I come to find out that, you know, the mind of Christ is much wiser than mine.
Amen.
Yeah. And but in Matthew 16, when Peter came to faith, so to speak, and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," he said, "You know, I say to you," well, his name is Simon at the time. He changed it to Peter, a rock, and he said, "I'm going to build on this revelation my church." But then he makes this statement. Y'all know that, well, we won't look at it. He said, I will give you what? The keys. Everybody say keys. Of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Okay? So, in all honesty, it's just about taking authority over something to say no to. The word bind, in its simplest interpretation, would mean to forbid something. To say no, right?
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Like you would speak to a demon and tell it to go. Yeah. You're binding it. And then loose, in its simplest understanding, is the opposite. You're loosing something. You're allowing something, permitting something to take place. But interestingly, you have to do it.
Come on.
It just doesn't happen because, you know, a lot of people think prayer and walking with God is like, you know, winning the lotto or something. And it's not. Yeah. You have to use the keys. Everybody say the keys.
The keys.
So I believe we're in a time probably like never before in our generation where we need to understand, how do we fear not? And so the Lord just began to move me on some things, and things we know, but I feel like the Lord wanted us to revisit them today, because again, we fear not by drawing near, because the Lord's always near. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. But the purpose for drawing near is so the kingdom will come.
Come on, bring it.
Okay? And the kingdom is the king's dominion or domain, right? Very simply. It's all it means. It's the rule. It's the dominion. It's the rule and authority of God coming into a situation. Are you with me?
Yes.
So that's what you want when you draw near. And I feel like the Lord says we need to find our keys and start using them.
Come on, keys.
Almost everything I'm going to share with you today about these keys, and I'm not going to share on everything, but what I do share with you today, it's not anything that we don't know. How many of you know, when you can't find your keys at home, you know how to use them. That's why you're looking for them.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
A lot in the body of Christ don't even look for them anymore.
No, you don't.
Oh, I heard about those keys. That's pretty cool. Yeah, it'd be really cool if you used them. See what I'm saying? And so that's what I just felt like the Lord was just saying, how to find it. How many of you ever looked for your keys and they were in your hand?
Yes.
Come on. You know, you got it. You got your coffee. You got your, you know, your Bible, or your, you know, you got your laptop or whatever, you get ready to go, and you're like, I can't find my keys anywhere, and they're in your hand. You ever had that happen? Come on.
Yeah.
Kind of feel like the body of Christ is like that. Because Jesus didn't say, I give you the keys, but if you don't use them, I'm taking them away.
Dude, that's true. He didn't say that.
So, just like peace. He said, my peace I leave with you. I give it to you. I leave it with you.
Yeah.
So it's always obtainable to enter into his peace. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So hallelujah. Keys bind. Maybe this will help. Keys bind demonic and they loose heavenly.
Come on.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that applies in any area or any realm, okay? I mean, you know, the prayer of faith is a key, right? Fasting is a key. Making decrees and biblical confessions is a key. His name, His word, and His blood are keys, right? The sacrifice of praise is a key. Giving and sowing is a key. You might say, how can that be a key? Because when you give and sow, He opens the windows of heaven. See? But everybody wants, I want to be blessed, but you may need to operate in that key. If you're not doing that, you can't expect to reap, right?
Yes.
The laying on of hands is a key that brings kingdom power. Prophecy is a key to speak a thing. And then, how about this? Partaking of Holy Communion is a key.
Yes, it is.
The Lord said, we can learn a lot from that. Because how many of you know, most of us, if we're not careful, that's just religious ritual. I grew up doing it, right? But see, didn't benefit from it because I had no revelation of what it meant. And a lot of people in the body of Christ don't because they've kind of piggybacked from their childhood or their upbringing into their now, even though they love Jesus now. But communion is not something they get really excited about. It ought to be something we get really excited about. It's a major key to release kingdom power. The keys give us access and the keys give us authority to see heaven come into any situation. Jesus said it like this. He said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come on you.
Wow.
Are y'all getting this? Yeah. But see, you first have to use the key to bind something and then release the kingdom. And that's what Jesus is saying. So that the kingdom could come, I bound that. Everybody with me? Now, I'm going to go to a verse in Hebrews 10, but before we read the verse, if you want to turn to Hebrews 10, you can. Here's what sets it up. It says this, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Everybody say the blood. By the blood of Jesus. Now that word for confidence, as I've taught you, is the word to speak boldly. That's what confidence means. How many know if you're confident, you're going to speak boldly?
That's right.
So we have confidence in the holy place to enter it by the blood of Jesus. In other words, this is a pathway for the redeemed of the Lord. The Bible describes it as a new and a living way that He inaugurated through the veil, which was Jesus' flesh. Okay? When Jesus' body was torn, that made access to the real Holy of Holies. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
Very important. And how many know at the same time, in the natural temple, the man-built temple, the veil was rent from top to bottom, right? After His flesh was torn, right? And so we start to see that. It was a picture there. Then He goes on to say this, that Jesus has become our great high priest over, interesting, He says it this way, over the house of God. So over the people of God, over the family of God, Jesus is the high priest, which means something. We are His holy priesthood. We are priests. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Don't go religious on priest thing. We are priests of the Lord. We are the royal priesthood of the Most High God. Jesus is our high priest who has gone before us. So our access is through Jesus. That's why He said, we think of it as in going to heaven, and it does apply to that. But that really wasn't what Jesus was talking about when He said, I am the way, I am the truth and life. You don't get to the Father except through me. Amen? He is the intercessor who forever lives. He is the mediator of a new covenant. He is your advocate with the Father, right? So people don't want to go to the Father without Jesus. You can't get there. That exit is closed. Are you with me? And people can be very sincere about wanting to go to the Father with their false religions and all the other things. But you don't go there without Jesus. Are y'all with me? Okay, still there? Now look what it says in Hebrews 10. I want to pick up with verse number 22. Let us draw near. Everybody say, draw near. With what? A sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Now, obviously this is speaking to us individually. Do we agree? But it's speaking to us corporately, okay? Please hear this today. This works corporately. I'm telling you, it's powerful when we pray and we worship together and we take authority over things. Amen? People get healed, they get delivered, set free. But you need to understand those keys work outside of a worship service. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
Amen. They work outside of that. So it's a corporate thing, okay? But the corporate part is important. So we're to draw near by faith in the blood. Everybody say the blood. Look at verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without what? Without wavering, for He who what? Promised is faithful. Everybody say He's faithful. Do you believe that? He's faithful. You can draw near. And you don't have to live in fear. Amen. Now, with all the keys of the kingdom, like I said before, we got to find them and be aware of them, right? Hello? Then we also must apply them by faith with confidence. But thirdly, there's interest. I read it to you. You have to have a sincere heart. I mean, you know, if people aren't sincere, you can usually read it, right? Yep. And God knows if we're sincere. And a sincere heart's very important. A sincere heart means an open heart or a humble heart. There's no guile or deceit in the heart, right? There's no, you're not coming under false pretenses. You're real, right? Yeah. Remember, Jesus said that about Nathanael. Nathanael had just dissed Jesus to Philip. Because he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth?
Come on, man.
And then he said, behold an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile.
Come on.
How do you know me? And Jesus said, earlier when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And he goes, oh, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. He immediately went into faith. Are you with me? But see, I think Jesus appreciated it. There was no false pretense about the guy. He just said what he believed. Right?
Come on.
I mean, that's actually humility. You might think, well, that person just needs to close their mouth more often. But actually, they're actually revealing their heart.
Amen?
Amen? Yeah. I got to be careful. That's a whole other message. Paul addresses this sincere heart thing and how we approach. For example, let's talk about the Lord's table for a few minutes. I know I've taught on this before, but again, I believe it's one of the keys of the kingdom. And here's the thing about the Lord's table I want you to grasp. There's the Lord's table when we corporately take communion, maybe on a prayer night on some Sundays or whatever. In all honesty, just for the sake of, we've been trying to be more careful with a lot of handling one another's things, you know, during the season that we're in. So we've not done it as often probably as we ought to. But the thing I want you to see is it's something that when you understand the scriptures about the early church, it was very much a part of every family's life. They would break bread together from house to house. It was a very personal, a very private thing, but it was also a corporate thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So don't just limit that to something, well, I only take communion on communion Sunday. I want to encourage each and every one of you, as I share this with you, to realize the power. This is a key that maybe you need to activate in your family, in your home, in your physical body, and what God wants to do. So let me show this to you. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11:23. 2 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Some translations say, which is broken for you, which it was, right? Right? Remember, he broke the bread and said, this is my body, right? Do this. Everybody say, do this.
Do this.
Why? In remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this. As often as you drink it, why? In remembrance of me. Now keep reading. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever, how many of you know, we're living a life that knows Jesus is coming.
Amen.
I needed to say that. Amen?
Yeah.
When it's all said and done, Jesus is coming and he's a victorious king. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't care what we see going on in the world around us. Jesus is coming.
Amen.
And my covenant with him is found at his table and through his word.
Amen.
Therefore, who eats the bread or drinks the cup, now get this, of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself. And in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body of Christ, rightly. And for this reason, now get this, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. Now that word, the sleep passage there, that speaks of you've passed away. That was speaking of death. Okay? Partaking of the Lord's table in an unworthy manner, would you agree with me? That's the opposite of having a sincere heart. You're just coming to the table flippantly or casually, right? Come on. It's just kind of like, yeah, you know, I've done this before, whatever. And what happens is we're dishonoring something that was to honor. We're dishonoring something that was meant to honor the sacrifice of Jesus, which is what? His broken body for us and his shed blood that redeemed us. Amen? So when partaking of Holy Communion, we should always and sincerely, how many know, examine ourselves. I don't take communion. I love you, but I'm not thinking about you.
Right.
I'm examining myself. Amen? I don't drag you to the table. Lord, fix her, please. Fix him. Right? No, I examine myself. Everybody say myself. Hallelujah. Here's what I want to throw at you. Throw at you. I don't know. Whatever. Going to catch it? Spirit, soul, and body. You need to examine yourself entirely. Because He's called us to be sanctified unto Himself entirely. Amen? Spirit, soul, and body. Because think about it. We're doing it in light of the sacrifice that was made. Amen? Now the second thing, we must judge. I really like the word discern better. Some translations say discern the broken body of Christ. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't understand it. They just know He did all those things for us, but they don't really know the why. And that's not wise. Amen? Would you agree? That's not wise if you don't know why He shed His blood. If you don't know why they ripped His back open 39 times, then you're missing out on the power of why. It wasn't to make a movie. Yeah. Yeah. Right? And it wasn't really to make us cry and feel bad for Him.
Come on.
It really wasn't. And it does move me emotionally. Don't get me wrong. Because I know I nailed Him to the cross. Rick Bennett nailed Him to the cross. You nailed Him to the cross. Amen? So I understand that. But it's not the sensationalizing event. It's about redemption.
Come on.
Amen?
Amen?
And so we have to... Man, I don't know why I'm getting so passionate about this. But we must... Maybe I need to make a movie called The Passion. Anyway. We must judge or discern His body rightly.
Amen.
And this is so important. Here's the thing. Get this. Through Jesus, through His shed blood and broken body, the Scripture says we are reconciled unto God. We're made right with God through Jesus' sacrifice. Y'all see that? So that's why it's important. Because there's areas of many Christians' lives that have never really gotten reconciled. And I don't know about you, but I'm constantly looking at that sacrifice and saying, oh, there's an area here. I need to bring it under the blood. I need to bring it. I need to get this reconciled because Jesus paid for me to have it. Amen? And to walk in it. Are y'all with me? Isaiah 53 says, He bore and carried away our sicknesses and our pains and our infirmities, our sorrows and our griefs. He was pierced through His hands, His feet, and His side for our sins and transgressions. He was bruised and beaten for our iniquities. Amen? Our chastening that we deserve fell upon Him so that we could be at peace with God. Hallelujah. That our soul could be made whole. And by those 39 lashes that ripped His back open, we were healed. Amen? So I come to the table of the Lord. If anything in my life would say that wasn't applied to me, I need to bring it into reconciliation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
To me, that's the most honoring thing I can do with my Lord. Amen? And not try to cherry pick, well, that doesn't apply. He doesn't do that anymore. Man, beware of getting caught up in that. Because if you could cherry pick any part out and say, well, that no longer applies. He doesn't heal anymore. Come on.
Cut that down.
He can't possibly do that for you. You're just going to go to heaven when you die. That's all you're going to get out of this. And it just doesn't line up with the Scripture.
Amen.
Come on, say amen.
Amen.
So in communion, we're remembering. So again, that we can examine ourselves, amen?
Amen.
And so that we can be reconciled.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Spirit, soul, and body through the blood and body of Jesus. Our communion is truly... Why do you think they call it communion? I mean, they usually call it breaking bread, the table of the Lord, right? And holy communion, right? Because it brings you into communion. And when we do it together, we're in communion with one another and with God. And the only way I can commune with God is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
So it kind of helps us to understand it, what it means. In some denominations, they use the word to describe it, the Eucharist. But the problem is, drawing near is not what is on a lot of people's minds. We misunderstand the context for what Paul was saying, and people are almost afraid to go to the table of the Lord. Well, if I go there in an unworthy manner, I might get sick and die. That's not the point. Because if you're jacked up, you need to go to the table. Y'all see that?
Yes.
Please. We got to get this. It's not get your act together and go to the table, because if you can get your act together, there's no need to go to the table. Hallelujah. We're misreading what the apostle was writing. Amen? Let's draw near. Because I don't know about you, But I don't want to be in fear and despair.
That's right. That's right.
I want to draw close to the lover of my soul. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now look at this. We won't turn there. You know the verse. I quote it all the time. And because of that, probably you do. I was what? I have been what? Crucified with Christ. Now that I is that old man of the flesh. That old stinky Rick.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Come on. He was crucified with Christ. It's no longer that guy that lives.
Come on.
But now Christ lives in and through me. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Where? In my body.
That's right.
In my fleshly body.
Right.
Hallelujah. In this life that I now live in my fleshly body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who what? Loved me and gave Himself for me. Hallelujah.
Yes.
The life within us, here's what I want to bring to your attention. Because some people go, if you look at the table and just remember death, there's a problem. Because we forget resurrection. Amen? If all you focus on is death and you don't see resurrection, you won't find resurrection in your life. Hello? You'll just be, you know, in the mully grubs around the death part, but you won't get into the life part. Come on, we're shooting some cows today. Sacred cows, they got to go. Amen? He doesn't. The life that lives in you and I is resurrection life, okay? He doesn't live in and through me only as Christ crucified, but as Christ crucified and resurrected. Amen?
Amen.
And Christ raised and seated. Christ who is alive forevermore. That's who lives inside of me. Well, we got to get that. We got to finish the job. Amen? I'll be honest with you. A lot of Christian movies that just end with Him dying, it breaks my heart. Can we please at least do the resurrection? I wish they'd go and do the book of Acts. Amen? You'll show the alive, resurrected Christ operating in people's lives. The table of the Lord will have no power if there is no resurrection. We remember His death, but the death was unto resurrection. Well, even in water baptism, what are we doing? We are united with Jesus. When we go into the water, we are united with Jesus in His death. Right?
Yes.
And we come out of the waters, what? Into the newness of life.
That's right.
Aren't you glad we just didn't hold you there?
Come on.
Well, at least He died with Christ. Somebody call the coroner. We got another one. Are y'all with me? Some people almost look at Christianity that way.
Come on.
I just got to die. Jesus didn't say that. He said, you'll never know real life until that life dies.
Yeah.
Amen?
So hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I love you when I'm sharing this. I really mean it. Paul wrote that our faith in Jesus without resurrection is worthless.
Come on.
Look at this verse for me in 1 Corinthians 15:16. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is
worthless.
Wow. And you're still in your sins. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
Wow. Even though He would have died. But if He didn't get raised, let's just mail this in and go home.
Yep.
Right? Holy Communion is about remembering a finished work. Hallelujah. His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Now get this. His death was where the sacrifice was made. We agree. Everybody agrees on that pretty much. His burial was when He descended and He got the keys back. Come on. There's a reason He just didn't die for a moment. He was taking care of business. Whooping the devil openly. Amen. And then He comes out and but His resurrection. Hallelujah. He became the first fruits of many brethren who would come out like unto Him from death into life. Hallelujah. You must be born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And He ascended. It gets even better. He ascended to the highest place at the right hand of God, the highest of all authority in heaven and on earth. And guess what? Ephesians says, when you were raised with Christ, He seated you with Himself.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's why it's heartbreaking when we don't use the keys that we've been given. And it's all about Jesus. Are we all together here on that?
It is.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory be to God. When we partake of the table, we ought to leave the table forgiven.
Amen.
We ought to leave the table free.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
We ought to leave the table full of life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Kind of regret we don't have communion today here, but we've been communing with Him. You don't have to take the elements to remember, but I'm just saying, it's just one of the keys that's powerful. Here's the thing. If I'm to discern His broken body rightly, I myself must first identify with His death. And I'm examining myself, but then of course I'm repenting when I do that. Then I can partake of life as I identify with resurrection. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to muddy the waters today, but I think a lot of times we don't understand what Paul was saying about Some are sick and dying because they're not getting the benefit of the table. They don't understand what it brings. Jesus was raised and he is alive forevermore. Amen? Do we agree that? So what does he forever live to do? Y'all know.
Intercede.
Say intercede.
Intercede.
The mediator, the advocate. That's what he lives to do. Amen? He said, but guys, we got a problem. You think I've got the keys? I gave them to you. Because I can't invade your earthly realm unless you use your keys and call on my name.
On.
Then I can invade it. Hallelujah.
Come on,
bro. Come on. He even had to come, what? As the Son of Man. And be born of a woman so that he could operate in that authority. Now he's at the right hand of God and saying, anything that happens on earth, it's going to take somebody that believes me on earth. That gets their keys out and begins to use them for the glory of God. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. I love what it says in Romans about Abraham. In Romans 4, it says that in the presence of God that he believed, it said two things. I want you to get this. He said he believed in God, the Father. You got to understand something. Abraham's gotten a word. He's going to be the father of many nations. He even changed his name to Abraham, meaning he's going to be the father of many nations. And that's what everybody was calling him. He didn't even have a kid of his own, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He and Sarah, right? Yeah. And so that's why Sarah laughed when he told her what his new name was. But God kind of got the last laugh on Sarah, right? Amen?
Yeah, yeah.
A man near 100 and a woman near 90 have a baby, right? Amen. Come on, come on. That ought to make you laugh right there. But anyway, so you got to understand where Abraham was. It says this, he who gives life to the dead. That's the first attribute. The God he believed in gives life to the dead. Everybody say resurrection.
Resurrection.
But he also calls those things that are not as though they were. Amen?
Amen.
But that means that's like prophetic faith, right? When you start to speak something into something that's
right.
Dead or it has to change. Are y'all seeing this? Yeah. This is the way. That's the God Abraham believed in. That's how he became the father of us all in faith, right? And that's our example. The New American Standard says he calls into being that which does not currently exist. So anybody that doesn't understand anything like that, they would look at you and go, well, you're just kind of nuts. I'm not nuts. I'm just of another world. Right? You might say, well, that's out of this world. Well, that's the way you ought to be with Christians. We're out of this world. Amen? Think about this. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is at work in you and me. Amen? And it's at work in your spirit. And I would offer this to you. It's working in your spirit. We know that. Most people don't agree with that because that's the part of you that was born again. But he's also at work in your soul, if you'll allow it. And he wants to also do a work even in your mortal flesh.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Now one day that power will cause my mortal flesh to put on immortality. What is corruptible will become incorruptible. We know that will happen at his coming. But in the meantime, there's a verse we have to deal with. And it's a verse that says, if the Spirit of Christ is in you, amen?
Yeah.
Well, hang on a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll come back to that. I'm getting excited. Oh, hallelujah. So, speaking again of communion, there's a couple of things I need to say to you first before we go there. Jesus said, as often as you do this. Now, what does that mean? I personally think, I don't think it meant do it every moment of every day or several times a day. I believe what he was saying was, I think he was saying to us, huh? Oh, okay. Cool. For just Jasmine? Wow. Yeah. But whenever you do this, or as often as needed, is the way I look at that. As often as needed. Because can I tell you, there's this time, I may be in a particular battle. Have you ever been there? You're just in a battle, you're going through something, and I may feel led of the Lord to take communion every day. I'll take communion, bring that before the Lord, and I'll just pray into that. I'll take communion and remember His sacrifice, remember the victory and the life and all that.
Absolutely.
And I'll do that until the victory comes or until the victory is materialized. Because I already know I have it, but until it materializes, sometimes I've taken communion.
Come on, Faith.
Man, all during my COVID battle, I was taking communion constantly when I couldn't eat anything else at the time. I was that sick. And yet I began to take communion. And I'm convinced that's why I came through it better, quicker than I did. And I'm not boasting in anything of myself. That was God. That was God. And I just want to encourage you anyway. So again, the key is to draw near and stay sincere. I mean, if you do anything a lot, here's where we got to be careful is we all kind of prone toward becoming religious about things. Let's be honest.
Come on.
You just kind of do it. You know, we can even do that about early morning prayer or something. You just get to where you're just kind of like saying the same thing, doing the same thing. This is kind of, and you kind of get it. Next thing you know, it's mindless, right? Next thing you know, your heart's not in it. You're not sincere. And how many know, you just got to check yourself on that. So I'm not asking you, because what happens is it becomes a form of godliness indeed, but it denies the power. And that's what we have to watch out for in some of these things, okay? Everybody all right with that? Paul wrote that many have become sick and even died prematurely because of coming to the table in an unworthy manner or because of not coming at all. Meaning, again, God didn't get them, meaning they didn't get their victory because they abused the power of the table. Okay, fair enough? He's making all things new. We agree? Somebody asked me about that one more time. They said, well, why some have passed? Obviously, people are going to pass away, right? We're all going to go into the next life, and we all know that. But he said was what the intention was there. He was just saying many are sick and have died prematurely because of this key has not been activated in their lives. And again, I didn't want the whole message today to be about that, just that one key. I want to talk all the keys that I mentioned earlier are very, very important. Amen? Yeah. Say, don't fear, but draw near. Amen? Think about this again about Jesus' benefits. You know, the Bible says, forget none of his benefits, right? In other words, recall them. Remember the benefits of the Lord. And I've often asked, I know what the benefits are in Psalm 103, and I love to quote them over my life and speak them over my life. We do it in here a lot. But I know the benefits, but there is a why to why we do this. And the first one is this. When Jesus died and shed his blood, he ratified a new covenant. Are you with me? When he was resurrected, that validated it. The covenant was ratified in his blood. But if he hadn't been raised, you can ratify a lot of things, but they're not valid until there's resurrection, right? That validated it. And here's the best part. Because he is raised and he is alive forevermore, that means this covenant is eternal. Any generation can adapt to it. Amen? Any generation, any people can take hold of this and believe it. I like to say it this way. When, on that resurrection morning, Jesus didn't get up. He stayed up.
Amen.
Amen? He didn't say, all my people, arise, arise. What'd he say? Arise and
shine.
Come on. Amen? Come on. We need revelation.
Yeah, we do.
Two areas for me that I really pray I want to know more and more and more of. Think about this. His peace that surpasses what? All comprehension or understanding, okay? That's supernatural, right? But also, his power that surpasses greatness. Would y'all agree with me? Is there any greater power than resurrection?
I don't know.
If Lazarus was in a tomb 4 days, and he was, and Martha protested because if you move that stone, we're all running out of this village because it's going to stink. Right? Right? Why? Because Lazarus was rotting in a tomb. He wasn't in there on life support in ICU. Keeping him going. His organs were gone. Are you with me? His body was shot. Obviously because of stench, he was already deteriorating and corrupting. Right? That guy came out of the tomb. That surpasses greatness. Are you with me? Are you with me? By the way, interesting for Lazarus, and Jesus' resurrection is amazing too. Well, what's amazing about Lazarus is his was 4 days. It's kind of like, touche. Here I am. And he was so alive, they had to take the grave clothes off of him. Can you imagine? I guess he bounced out like a pogo stick. I don't know how he came out of the tomb. I often wondered that, you know, because the way they would wrap and dress the bodies, to, you know, and all that. So anyway, amazing thing. But I want to show you something. I want to show you something that this, it just came to my mind. It's a passage I don't teach on much because I've never fully understood it. But even with this message this week, I feel like the Lord says, you ought to meditate on that because resurrection is so off the charts.
Yeah.
It's so off the charts. And that's why a lot of people struggle with this whole thing about the rapture and the dead in Christ raising first.
Yeah.
Meaning graves are going to burst open.
Come on, dude.
People are not going to just see Christians that are living disappear. Yeah. They're going to see graves burst open. Did you know that already happened?
Come on.
No, everybody relax. The rapture hasn't happened. A prophetic sign of that happened in the earth when Jesus was resurrected. Look at it with me quickly. Come on. Matthew 27:50. Hallelujah. By the way, earlier when I got a little off track there, I was in my thinking. It says, did I give you Romans 8:11?
No.
I did not. Okay. Romans 8:11 says this, that if the Spirit of Christ abides in you, amen, then His Spirit of the resurrected Christ gives life. Do you have it? Well, no, it's all right. It's all right. It gives life to your mortal flesh. Interesting. Life. What kind of life? It's the resurrected life. So as long as I'm in this body with the Holy Spirit, then there's life available to my body. That's what I was trying to say earlier. Are y'all with me? It's a transforming life. That's Romans 8:11. But anyway, let's go to Matthew 27:50. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up His Spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. Keep reading. Buckle up. You ready? The tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep, who had died, okay? This were not their bedroom chambers. They were dead. They were raised. And coming out of the tombs after His resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Are y'all with me? That's one of those kind of, I think I just saw Uncle Bob. Are y'all with me? Come on, guys. That's just like, whoa.
Kings were coming out.
Hello, Uncle Bob.
Yeah.
King David dancing around.
Mama? It's an amazing thing. And that's all it says about it. It doesn't tell us any of the stories. I'd love to know the backstories. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
We don't even know how many. But many were walking around Jerusalem. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Don't limit the raw power of resurrection. Hallelujah. Jesus said to Martha, He said, I am the resurrection and I am the life.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Remember the Lord told Joshua, He's trying to get him ready to finally lead the people into the promised land. He said, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. How many of you know that's a word to any of us? Because He's with us wherever we go. Amen?
Yes.
How do we overcome? How do we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen? Yes, be redeemed, but you have to get your... Yeah, that's a key. It's a key. Do y'all see that? That's a key to overcoming the enemy. Jesus said it this way, if you confess Me before men, I will confess you before My Father who is in heaven, and before, another passage says, before the holy angels. Amen? See, I want my intercessor, my mediator, my advocate. I want to make sure He knows that He's mine. Amen? And I'm His. And it brings the attention of the Father and the host of heaven. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. Our testimony is the key that activates the power of the blood.
Come on.
Amen? Now, regarding us receiving a breakthrough, I need to say this because I think we talk about the kingdom and the keys and the supernatural, and I believe in it, and I want to see more of it in my life and in your lives. Okay? We all agree?
Amen.
But let me just say this to you. Regarding receiving our breakthrough, I'm not saying that we should ignore practical wisdom. Hello?
Yeah.
We shouldn't ignore practical wisdom and be unwise and ignore practical wisdom. Here's the reason. Is I believe it can cause us to tread across that line of putting God to the test. But we call it, oh, He just threw caution to the wind. No, it was stupid. Amen? If I walk up on this building and walk off of it, you might go, well, He was such a man of faith. No, that was stupid. Are y'all with me? Amen? There's practical wisdom in a lot of things. Satan tried it with Jesus. We're laughing, but he did. He took Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple and quoted the scripture from Psalm 91 to him. So throw yourself down from here. For the Lord said He would give His angels charge concerning you to keep you in all of your ways, lest you you know, stumped your toe and fell.
Come on.
Right? He quoted the word to Jesus. But you know what Jesus said? And thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test. Amen? So I can't go out and act a fool and then think, well, where were the angels at? I should be able to drive drunk.
Come on, man.
Right? 40 miles over the speed limit? Yeah. See what I'm saying? And even the practical things when it regards to health, right? Taking care of ourselves and being, I mean, there's practical things. Here's where we get into trouble, is when we put our faith in natural wisdom. Because my faith is in God. Amen? My practical personal discipline, that's on me to do what I need to do on my end. But on God's end, my faith is in Him. Are you with me? Because how many of you found out all the practical wisdom in the world, I need God. I need heaven to break in upon me and upon my life and my situation. Is that clear, everybody? I just want to make you understand that. I'm not one of these guys that just like, yeah, we're just going to pray and bind and loose and just live like we want to live. No. It doesn't work that way. Not at all. Again, let's apply wisdom, and then here's the thing. Use the keys of the kingdom first. Seek first the kingdom, right?
Yes.
Use the keys of the kingdom first. Seek first the kingdom. Sadly, again, many people don't know where their keys are. Hoping you're finding them today.
Yes.
But we're not operating in a kingdom where if I say, would you agree with me? Sometimes like in the area of maybe an infirmity or a sickness, there's things I could do to get well,
yeah.
Right? If my diet's out of whack and this or that, right? There's things I could do to help that. But He's the healer.
Yes.
And the thing is, I can keep getting touch after touch after touch. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
So sometimes you have to understand that there is something I need to apply. But again, even in that sometimes, that's not enough. I need to be healed.
Yeah,
I need Jehovah Rapha to come. Amen?
Yeah.
And heal me. And so it's very, very important. Because if I can do everything according to wisdom and just me being disciplined and determined to make these changes, if I can, then I don't need the kingdom.
Amen.
Right? All I need is to be more self-disciplined and all of that. Fair enough?
Yeah.
So we're talking about the kingdom, the supernatural. The word super means over and above.
Yes.
I want to live over and above the natural. Amen? While at the same time, I don't want to defy the wisdom of the natural where I need to apply it. Okay, can I move on? I'm not trying to offend anybody, but it's not either way. It's really both. We are born of the Spirit of God. Now think about this. Now here's what I want to hone in on as we close.
Okay.
As I approach closing. We are born of the Spirit of God, and we have the DNA of Jesus.
Amen.
I'm talking spiritual DNA of Christ Jesus. You and I are a new creation. Are we not?
Yes.
We're not a redo. Right?
Wow.
We're a new creation. We're a new species in Christ.
Right.
And we're not merely reformed and refurbished.
Come on.
Amen?
Amen?
But we've been made completely new. We're in union with Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Is that not amazing?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
So
come on, that's powerful. Here's the thing. If that's true, and it is, we were created to do His works. And by the way, that's not some apostle in his zeal writing that in a letter. That was Jesus' words recorded in the book of John. If you believe in me, the works that I do, you will do also. And let me up it a notch, you'll do even greater.
Come on. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
My point in going this direction at this point is to help you understand our Heavenly Father is the God of miracles.
Amen?
Amen? And as sons of God, we're to live a life of miracles.
Amen.
Amen? It honors the Father when miracles operate in our lives.
God.
Hallelujah. That causes men to go, whoa. They see that light and they glorify our Father who is in heaven. But if I do it in my strength, they might applaud me and go, good job, Rick. Right? Right? But God gets the glory when we get into this realm of the kingdom. And that's what I want. Isn't that what you want?
That's what I want.
I love this passage in John 20:30. Listen. Therefore, many signs Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, the Gospel of John. But these have been written. Everybody say written.
Written.
Come on. Written why? What's it say? So that you may believe. that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in His name. How many are glad we got some things written?
Yes.
Amen? The miracles, the signs, and the wonders were written so that we would believe. Here's the thing. Not so we become intellectual skeptics.
Come on.
You ever hear people just waste so much time trying to argue things? You're reading a spiritual book and you're trying to argue in man's natural wisdom? When we live in a whole nother realm, a whole nother dimension? But y'all know what I'm talking about. And sometimes the people that do it the most are religious people. Because they want to have an excuse for why there is no miraculous in their life. Be better just to explain it away than to say that. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
I think this. I think the Word of God with revelation, I think it's the master key to all the other keys.
Come on.
Amen.
That's why I spend the majority of my time in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. Because I'm looking at a miracle worker named Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I'm looking at these apostles who are walking as a new creation of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that imprints upon me that our life was to be a life of miracles.
Yes.
A life of signs and wonders. Amen?
Yes.
Isaiah said what? I and the children whom the Lord God has given me are for signs and wonders.
Amen.
And Hebrews quotes that in the book of Hebrews. It quotes Isaiah in that passage saying when Jesus comes into the congregation of His brothers and sisters, He says, I and the children the Lord God are given me are for signs and wonders. Hallelujah! Not just the great evangelist. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
We got to get this into our heart. I don't want to be a skeptic. I believe it's a master key. Now, here's me. I want to get to the place when something happens in my life that I immediately think the miraculous first. What do you mean? Like, I really want to get there. I'm not there. I am sometimes. I tend to be that way for others more than myself. And then I'll be frustrated with them because they don't think like I wish I could think. Are y'all with me?
Mercy.
Right?
Mercy.
I go to pray for someone. I'm like, you know, they're not even thinking about praying. Well, let God do this, right?
Yeah.
Come on. Y'all hear me?
Yeah.
But I was the same way with my issue.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
I'm just being real with y'all. How many want to get to that place?
Yeah.
Well, that's where you go. That's the mind of Christ.
Amen.
That's where you go when something happens. You go, yeah, that's normal.
That's normal.
What does old Sid Ross say all the time? To be naturally supernatural.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that what he says? Something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pardon Sid if I slayed that verse, but anyway. Wasn't a verse, it was just his mantra. But for example, when something comes into my life and I know it's not of God, then I need to speak to it.
Come on, dude.
Amen? I need to rebuke it. The demon's got to go. Amen? The mountain needs to move. The tumor needs to disappear.
Come on.
Any of you ever laid hands on yourself? I'm serious.
Yes.
Lay hands on yourself.
Come on.
Hallelujah. When pain is in your body, instead of loading up on ibuprofen, and I'll take ibuprofen from time to time, when pain's in your body, speak to the pain. Go!
Come on, keys.
Amen?
Yes. Amen?
When you need some wisdom, you need some answers. Let's be honest. We're told clearly in Scripture that God gives without reproach His wisdom. To he who is not double-minded and who will ask. Amen?
Amen.
But the problem is we get wisdom from a thousand different sources before we go to God.
Come on.
And I'm not rebuking you guys. I'm just saying God's calling us to live higher. Amen?
Yes, he is. Let's go.
Live up and above this stuff.
Let's go.
How about this? Faith, ask. Faith, you got a financial need or something going on. I don't know about you. The first thing I think of is give, right?
Come on.
It's the first thing I think of. It's funny, in certain areas, I just immediately go there automatically. Because it's been so proven in my life. In other areas, I want to get better at it. Anybody with me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Always seek the dominion of Jesus first. I'll say this, if you're taking medicines and stuff, I would never tell you to stop. But I know you're believing for healing. You know what you do? Lay hands on your medicine. Lay hands on your medicine and bless it and speak over it and believe there's a day coming you won't even have to have the medicine. Amen? That's perfectly fine. How about this? Instead of writing off that family member, maybe it's your spouse or your children or whatever, how about just start blessing them?
Amen.
Amen? Just start blessing them. Hallelujah. Blessing is a key of the kingdom. Cursing is the opposite. It actually may be a key that releases demonic. We're to never curse. We're always blessed. Amen?
Yes, sir.
But don't question or become skeptical of miracles Believe you will see them and live to experience them. Amen?
Yes.
Because believing is from the heart, not the mind. Why do we want to understand something that we can't understand? Did y'all hear what I said? Why do we seek to understand it? What the definition of a miracle is, it's inexplainable. Right? I can't go to science. I mean, water turning into wine, you can go in the laboratory all you want. You can't make that happen. So guess what? It's a miracle. A man 4 days dead walking around, that's a miracle. Are you with me? Sometimes we get in situations where we need miracles. Hallelujah. And God wants them to be a sign and a wonder to a generation.
Yes, He does.
Hallelujah. Y'all still there?
Yeah.
But I don't want to naturally understand. If I have to naturally understand it, then it's not even a miracle.
That's right.
Here's the thing about the keys to the kingdom. They're voice activated. They're touch activated. Right?
Okay.
And they're prophetic action activated. Right?
Yeah.
Usually, most of the time, it's voice. You speak to something. Jesus told Nicodemus, He said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. I want to take you to two quick passages, and then we're going to pray. Are y'all ready?
Ready.
Let me ride these out. I need to finish this thought, because I want to talk to you just briefly about seeing. Everybody say seeing.
Seeing.
If you want to turn there, you can. We'll have this passage for you. But in 2 Kings 6, the Arameans had surrounded Elijah. The king was very upset with Elijah because Elijah knew what he was speaking in his own bedroom. And so he said, we got to get rid of that prophet. And so he had sent his armies to surround Dothan where Elijah was. And Elijah's attendant rises up and sees that they're surrounded by the enemy. And I want to pick up with verse 15 of 2 Kings 6. Look what it says. When the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear. Everybody say, do not fear.
Do not fear.
For those who are with us are more than those who are with them.
Amen.
Now, how many of you know his servant is probably going, huh? I didn't see anything but the enemy, right? How many of you ever done that when you walk out on a Monday?
Yeah.
You don't see anything but the enemy, right? Let's say that together. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Then Elijah prayed and said, look what he prayed. Oh Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes. And look what he saw, guys. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Hallelujah. He's got you back. God's got this. Amen.
Hallelujah.
We have to see. Amen. We have to have a mindset for miracles. We won't be able to see them. We know faith comes by hearing, right? The Word of God. And seeing in faith in the Spirit is believing.
Come on.
We were born again to see. I just want to say that. Paul prayed in Ephesians. He said you'd have a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Come
that
on.
The eyes of your heart would be opened and enlightened.
Come on,
oh, hallelujah.
Come on.
The other verse is Joshua 5.
Come on.
Actually, Joshua 6. But in verse 5, after Joshua had led Israel into the Promised Land, their first assignment of conquest. They did other things, but their first assignment of conquest was to take the fortified city of Jericho. We all know the story, right? Everybody knows the story of Jericho, right? They circled the city. And so, the captain of the host of heaven appears before Joshua. And he's standing before the fortified city. Look at Joshua 6, verse 1. Now get this. Jericho was tightly shut. Everybody say, tightly shut. Why? Because of the sons of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. They were on lockdown.
Scared.
That sounds familiar. Okay? And the Lord said to Joshua, see. Everybody say, see. I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and valiant warriors. Was there anything in the natural that said this city is yours? This is a city whose walls were so big people lived in the walls. Right? Like Rahab? Amen? People lived in the walls of the city. They say the top of the city walls, chariots could ride around on them.
That's right.
Fortified. Are you with me? You didn't go in there unless they wanted you to come in, right? A fortified city. And the angel says to Joshua, see, I've given it to you. How many of you know, if you can't see it, you can't believe for it? Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, guys. That's kingdom. That's kingdom. Yeah. There's situations we're in. I pray that the Lord will open our eyes to see what really is going on. Amen?
Amen.
And what God wants to do. We all know the story. He put his men in war. They circled that city, and on the seventh day they shouted. Amen. There's a lot more to it than that. But on the seventh day they shouted, and the walls fell flat. Hallelujah. So I don't know what Joshua saw. Doesn't say. I don't know if God showed him the angels that smashed those walls. I don't know. But obviously the kingdom realm was on it. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And God, here's my point to all of us. We were born again to live this way.
That's right.
To live in this. Because we have a great harvest to go get. Would we agree?
Yeah.
We have a harvest to go get. So here's what I want to encourage you with. Have a sincere faith. With confidence, activate your faith. Draw near. Say, draw near. Because the kingdom is at hand.
Yeah.
The kingdom is near to you. Jesus is near to you. He's near to each and every one of us. He lives within us. Combat fear by drawing near. Amen? And use the keys of the kingdom.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lift your face to heaven. Extend your hands out right now. Lord God, I pray, grant each one of us eye salve so that we may see. Heal our eyes, Lord. We're your people, Lord. I know everybody in this room today is a child of God. Heal our eyes, Lord. To say, I receive it, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would grant us all a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Lord God, I pray that we would see the knowledge of you because you are the Lord God, the Almighty. You are the mighty God of signs and wonders and miracles. You are the Lord of a mighty host of angels, an angelic army. And I pray for each of us, Lord, you would give us a grace. You would give us a grace to see who you are, to see the kingdom that we may enter into it. Pray with me, Lord Jesus. I receive these keys. May I do everything in a worthy manner, with a sincere heart, and in faith. Grant me the confidence and trust in the broken body and the shed blood to walk in the realms you've called me to walk. I ask the Lord right now for each of you. Some of you need a miracle. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's health. You need a miracle in a relationship. Whatever it may be. In the natural, you may feel like, I don't know what else to do. And the Lord says, use the keys. Call for the kingdom of God to come and the will of God to be done. Would you say this with me? Come. Come. Say it. Kingdom of God. And be done.
Will of God.
In my life.
Hallelujah.
Let's sing this song to the Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart. Oh, I